driving through town, just my boy and me.
Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It's Friday. It is great to be back with you after a couple days of being under the weather. I'm actually still under the weather today, but we will get through it. I've been sick. My wife and my daughter, unfortunately, my little four-year-old Ava, has a double ear infection. So it has been rough going around here the last few days. But today I'm back doing a program, and we are on the topic of the nature of the relationship between the Father and the Son. Oh, and by the way, before I get into it, I just want to thank all of you for your emails and comments and your prayers for me, and I appreciate that. And it's good to hear from you. You know, the Apostle Paul, I was just reading in my private reading this morning in Romans. I'll share this with you real quick before we get into our topic. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans 15:24. For I am expecting, while going through, to gaze upon you and by you to be sent forward there, if I should ever first be filled in part by you. In that passage, the Apostle Paul is talking about making a travel, going on his travels, and he could not wait to be filled by the company of God's people. And, you know, we can't always see each other face to face, but hearing from you and talking to some of you, it really is helpful to me, and I really am blessed by interaction with the saints, and I can't wait to see them as I'll be traveling next Friday. Actually, I'll be in Sioux Falls, South Dakota for that conference there. I hope to see you there if you're in that area, but I look forward to being filled by the company of God's people. Well, we're talking about that again, the nature of the relationship between the Father and the Son, and today we're going to talk about Christ as the image of the invisible God. Now, we pointed out that God is invisible. But we read in the Old Testament that Adam saw God in the garden, and also Abraham had a meal with Yahweh, if you read in Genesis 18. However, these were visible and tangible appearances of Yahweh. Thus, in those passages, it was the image of the invisible God. They saw and heard him through his representative. I believe those appearances in Genesis 3, in Genesis 18, are Christ pre-incarnate before he became flesh. However, they saw him in the garden. Adam saw Yahweh in the garden. Abraham saw Yahweh in Genesis 18. I believe that's referring to his image. They can't see God. John 14, the Lord Jesus said this, that he that has seen me has seen the Father. So Christ is the perfect representation. I've said in previous programs that that's why he's entitled to take all the titles of the deity, because he represents the deity, the living God, in all of his aspects and all of his relationships with mankind. Now, humanity's greatest problem is idolatry. I can't stress this enough. The more I study scripture, the more I see all the stuff that's connected with idolatry. You know, we live in a modern age where we don't see it as much. It's still there, however. But idolatry is one of the greatest plagues on humanity. Read Romans 1 and many other passages. Paul says that it degrades God. Read Romans 1. An image is supposed to represent a deity. That's why when you see the images of the various deities out there, sometimes they'll have multiple hands showing that, you know, they can get people, and because they got a lot of hands to work with, or they have multiple eyes where they can see a lot. But anyways, they're man's concept of God. It's man creating God in his own image, as it were, what he thinks it a God should be like. And that's why idols were forbidden in the Old Testament law to Israel. Why is that? Because man cannot make up a concept about God. Only God reveals himself, and that's why he forbade the making of idols. Now, why do men make idols? Why do people make idols? Well, in reality, it has to do with a longing. Men long to see something, and that's, I think, a God-implanted desire. But God chooses to reveal himself. That's why he forbids the idolatry, because we need to get a revelation from God, about God from God. Now, this term image, I want to turn to Matthew 22 for a moment. Matthew 22, and I think our Lord's words will help us understand what this word image means. Matthew 22. Now, in verse 18, now this is the scene where the Pharisees were trying to catch our Lord Jesus, and the Pharisees and the Herodians got together, and they asked about giving a poll tax to Caesar. And in verse 18, we read this, "Now Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, 'Why are you trying me, hypocrites? Exhibit to me the poll tax currency.'" So the Lord Jesus, show me what the coins look like that you pay your poll tax with. What does the currency look like? Now they bring to him a denarius, and he is saying to them, whose is this image and the inscription? Now, I want you to notice the use of image and inscription. They are saying Caesar's. Then he is saying to them, be paying then Caesar's to Caesar and God's to God. Now, notice this. The coin that they showed the Lord Jesus probably had a bust of Caesar on the coin, just like we have our quarter today with a bust of George Washington. And that coin basically was a shot in the arm to them because it showed that they were in subjection to Caesar. Now, the image wasn't Caesar. The image represented Caesar. It symbolized all that Caesar was, all of his authority, all of his power. Now, in theological circles, they have this term that says that Christ is of the same substance of the Father or something like that, to try to teach either Trinitarianism or something like that. They say that he's of the same substance. But he is really no more the same substance of the Father as that coin was the same substance of Caesar. Now notice how our Lord used this term image. That coin represented all of Caesar's authority. And Christ is the image of the invisible God. That means he symbolizes God's relationship to mankind. All of his love, his power and grace, and all the aspects we learn about the deity, the true God, is revealed in the person of Christ. He's not the same substance of the Father. He is the image of the invisible God. Just like that coin represented Caesar, Christ represents God. Of course, Christ is all that an image ought to be. That coin was just a coin. Caesar's coin wasn't majestic. It was made out of metal. But Christ is the living image of the living God. He's a perfect image. Now, here's some wonderful news in connection with this term image. The scriptures say that we believers are to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And knowing this should help us further understand Christ as the image of God. The Lord isn't alone in this relationship to God. He is the firstborn, and we are his brethren. Of course, we're lesser. Christ is the greatest. We're lesser, but still, he's the firstborn. We are his brethren. We are to be conformed to the image of God's Son. You know, God's highest goal, his highest goal is to have a race of people, a whole bunch of images of himself in his universe. And he's going to use these images to reconcile the whole creation back to himself. Notice in Romans 8:29, I believe. I'm turning there now. Romans chapter 8. And yes, verse 28. Now we are aware that God is working all together for the good of those who are loving God, who are called according to the purpose that whom he foreknew, he designates beforehand also to be conformed to the image of his Son. Notice that he didn't predestinate anyone to be saved or be justified. No, he wanted more than just justification. He predestined people to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That's his ultimate goal. We are justified so we can display God to others. Isn't that great news? Right now, however, we are limited. According to 1 Corinthians 15, 49, it says this, right now, and according as we wear the image of the soilish, we should be wearing of the image also the celestial. That'll be in our resurrection body when we're vivified. Now we're soilish. And being conformed to the image of God's Son is a process right now. It's a process we're going through. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, now we all, with uncovered face, mirroring the Lord's glory, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And in Colossians 3:10, it also defines this process as follows. I love this verse, and the Concordant Version is a revelation here on this. It says this in Colossians 3, verse 10, that we are to be putting on the young humanity, which is being renewed into recognition to accord with the image of the one who created. As we put on the new humanity, following the language of Paul here in Colossians 3, as we put it on, we are being renewed into recognition to accord with the image of the one who created. The more we study God's grace and the letters of the Apostle Paul in particular, we are being renewed into recognition. In other words, the more we let grace instruct us, the more people will recognize the image of God in us. That's the process. However, the process one day will be complete when this mortal is swallowed up by life, when we are vivified, when we're snatched away, we meet the Lord in the air, and we're given these resurrection bodies, then we will shine like we never shined before, and the celestial region will marvel at us, and God will be using us in our perfect state as His images to bring the celestial realms back to Himself. He will do that with Israel on earth. He'll have images of Himself on earth to bring the earth to Himself. And then one day God will be all in all. That's wonderful. Now notice, being the images of God like we are doesn't mean we're identical to God Himself. We will never become God. We are His images. And Christ is the chief. He is the image of the invisible God. Well, I hope this program has been helpful. This is Dan Sheridan. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll be covering more on this topic next week. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God as He's revealed in the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be. Have a great weekend. I love you.
'Cause I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. By then I'll be strong as Superman. Will be just alive.